washed and redeemed. Seeing since filth washed clean. Seeing enslaved men free.
Hey, friend. Welcome back to the Love Your Bible podcast, where my passion is to help you love your Bible. Because I believe when you love your Bible, you will love God, serve people, and live a life that matters. Last week, we started the famous parable of the prodigal son. It's found in Luke 15, which I told you last week is a bad name for the parable. That's not what Jesus called it. That wasn't his name for the parable. Our Bibles have titled this parable for us. And really, it's the parable of the two sons. And you're going to see in today's episode that the whole point is really about this older son that we're going to get introduced to, and we're going to see his response. So let's just capture the story, what's happened so far. So you have in Jesus's day, okay, he's welcoming sinners and tax collectors to himself. This is Luke 15, 1 and 2. And it says, the scribes and the Pharisees grumble. They're mad. They're angry. Why is Jesus hanging out with sinners? Doesn't he know better? So Jesus tells a series of stories, and this is the story we get to. He tells this story, this parable, to explain what's happening. So verses 11 through 24, we get the younger son. So there's a dad. He has two sons. The younger says, hey, dad, let's pretend like you're dead. Give me the inheritance. So he gets the inheritance. He goes to a far country, squanders all of his inheritance, ends up coming up broke, and repents. He comes back home, and the father meets him. He runs after him. He embraces him, hugs him, kisses him, gives him the best robe, kills the fatted calf, throws a outlandish party because his younger son returned home. So that's the first part of the story. And we talked about, hey, God's heart towards sinners who repent. It's mercy, compassion, grace. God loves sinners who repent. That's the point of that first part of the story. But now, that was really just the setup. Jesus told that first part about this younger son just to set up what he's about to say now. So now we're at the meat of the story. This is the point of the story. And remember, the ones who are listening are the scribes and the Pharisees. They're saying, Jesus, why are you hanging out with these sinners? So now let's listen to verse 25. It says this, now his older son was in the field. Now let's just think about location for a moment. The younger son, he went into the far country, right? He went to Vegas, spent all of his money in reckless living. That's what he did. He's known as the son in the far country. He's away from his dad, away from his dad's presence, where he's not supposed to be. Yet this older son, he's in the field. He's doing exactly what his dad told him to do. He is obeying. He is hardworking. He hasn't ran to a far country. No, he stayed home. He's in the field. He's got his hand to the plow. He is a hardworking son. He is doing what's right. He's doing what he should. He's that son. You can imagine everybody that passed by said, man, I bet the father wished he had two sons like this oldest. Can you remember that younger son? Yeah, he's crazy. No, this son, his dad's proud of him. He's in the field. He's working. He's doing what he should. So think about the contrast. Younger son, far country. Older son, he's in the field. He's where he's supposed to be. He's working at his father's farm. And then it says this, as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So let's think about this for a moment. The father has just welcomed his younger son home, right? Thought he was dead. Now he's came back. He has thrown a giant party. The whole town would have been invited. They've killed the fatted calf. This would have taken some preparation. This would have taken time. This is a big deal. And the older son doesn't have a clue what's going on. In fact, he draws near to the house and he hears music and dancing. He doesn't know what's happening. So what does the story reveal? Yes, the older son, he's in the field. He's where he should be. He is obeying his father. He's working for his father. But you know what? He's really far away from his father. He doesn't have any more relationship with his father than the younger son did. He is in the right place, but he in no way has a heart that is drawn near to his father, or else he would be the first to know of this party. He would be the first to know that the younger son has came home, but instead he just hears about it. He hears ruckus around the house and he comes, and notice what it says in verse 26. And he called one of the servants and asked, "What do these things mean?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." Now think about that. The servant of the house knows more than the son of the father's inheritance. So this servant knows more than the older son. Again, it tells he doesn't have a relationship with his father. He's just in the field doing work, assuming that doing work, he's going to be better off. He's going to be that one who does right and gets right. But all of a sudden, he hears the servant telling him that his brother has come home. And then he hears this part, that his father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. So now we're going to see the reaction. How's the older brother going to react to the return of his younger brother? Well, verse 28 says this, "But he was angry and refused to go in." So his reaction is not grace. It's not excitement. It's not, "Wow, my brother's alive." He doesn't run to the party. Instead, it says he was angry. So this older son, he's mad that the younger son has came home, but in the real way has received the party. He's got all this fuss. He's got the fattened calf. He's got all these things. He is now angry. Why is he angry? Well, we're going to see, because the younger son gets what the older son thinks he deserves. And in his anger, so notice just that word, but he was angry. What do we see the scribes and the Pharisees doing? They're grumbling. They're angry. They're mad because Jesus receives sinners and tax collectors. This older son, he is the scribes and the Pharisees. That's the reason Jesus is telling this parable. And then it says this phrase, "and refused to go in." So you got to think about just the story a little bit. You have a father who has thrown a party for his younger son who came home. The whole town would have been invited. This would have been a lavish party. This would have been the party of all parties. Everyone's talking about this. Everyone knows about it. And here the older son, who's the good son, the son who always is at the father's side, he is always there doing what he should do, though he's actually far away from the father, but he refuses to go in. This would have been absolutely insulting to the father. A refusal to go in to his dad's party. He is protesting. He is throwing a fit outside the banquet. This would have been embarrassing and humiliating for the father. Can you imagine, as people begin to talk in the party, hey, did you hear that so-and-so's son is not coming in, that so-and-so's son is disagreeing with this party? So his father would have suffered great humiliation. That the younger son humiliated the father by taking the inheritance and running away. Now the older son is equally humiliating his father in front of all the town because he won't go into this party that his father throws for the younger son. So what is his dad to do? Well, we're going to see that God's heart towards self-righteous, he also comes at them with grace, mercy, compassion, and love. Notice what happens. His father came out and entreated him. So his father leaves his own party. Again, this is embarrassing. This is humiliating. He's walking out of his party. I mean, imagine if you threw a birthday party for one of your kids and all of your friends came over and one of your kids stands outside the house and refuses to come to the birthday party because he doesn't think his sibling deserves a party and he doesn't think you deserve to throw him a party. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be? Times that by a million in this culture where the fatted calf has been killed. This is humiliating. So the father comes out and entreats him. Verse 29, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. I mean, just listen to how the older son, remember the good son, he's in the field, he's doing his work, he hasn't squandered the inheritance, he hasn't ran away, he's the good kid. Now listen to how he's talking to his father. He doesn't address him, he says, look. You can almost see that his finger is pointed in his dad's face. Look. And then he reveals his heart. He reveals the problem. He reveals why he's mad. He says, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. So he's bringing up his past. He's bringing up his record. He's bringing up his goodness and his service. And in fact, when he says, these many years I have served you, you could also translate that into, I have slaved for you. In other words, he's not working in the father's house and on the father's farm because he loves the father. No, he is slaving for the father. He is doing his duty. This is not delight. This isn't like the family business that the son and the father are delighting in one another doing work. No, the son is gritting his teeth, doing his duty. And he says, I never disobeyed your command. Now, I'm just going to call him on that and say that's probably not true because, but I know like this kid. I know because I have a kid who thinks he never does anything wrong, right? You have a kid, maybe if you have kids, or maybe you are this kid who, I've never done anything wrong. I never disobey the commandments. I always do what's right. That was this older son. He's a obedient boy. He's doing right, but we see it's to get right. It's to get the right stuff, to get the right things. And here's where his heart explodes. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. Here's the problem. The son has been working and slaving and serving and obeying, thinking that through obedience, he's going to get a party. He's going to get recognition. He's going to get a young goat. He's going to get, well, what his younger son just got. See, he's thinking, if I do right, I'm going to get right. But here my brother did wrong and he's getting right. And he's seeing that the world is not working how it's supposed to be. The one who does good should get good, but the one who did bad is getting good. This is not justice. This is not how the world should work. And he is furious about it. And then he shows just how unjust the father is. Verse 30. But when this son of yours came. Notice he doesn't say my brother. Like this son of yours. This is your deal. Who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Did you see the older son's heart? He's looking at this party and he's saying, Dad, I have worked, I've slaved, I have obeyed for this. I wanted this. I want the party. I want the inheritance. I want the stuff. And I've stayed here and slaved and obeyed. And now you need to give me what I deserve. But instead, you are squandering our stuff. You are throwing a party for someone who doesn't deserve it. We see the older son hasn't been obeying. He hasn't been working because he loves his father. He's been obeying and working because he wants the father's stuff. The same reason the younger son ran away. The younger son ran away because he didn't love his father. He just wanted his father's stuff. The younger son stayed, and through obedience and righteousness and goodness and working hard, he's not here in the father's house because he loves the father. He's here because he thinks by staying, he's going to get the most. He thinks by staying, he's going to get the full inheritance and the parties and the celebrations. And life isn't working out that way. He's not getting what he thinks he deserves, and someone else is getting what he thinks they don't deserve. And here we see the scandal of grace. Grace is God giving people what they don't deserve. Yes, the younger son shouldn't have a party, but guess what? Neither should the older son, because both are rotten at their core. They just can't see it. And notice what the father says, verse 31. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." He's trying to tell his boy, don't you get it? You have me. And if you have me, you have everything. But the truth is, the son really doesn't have the father, because the son really doesn't love the father. He's only wanted his stuff. That's why he's been doing what he's been doing. And it is revealed through this story. The father said, "It's fitting that we celebrate this younger son. And you should be celebrating too, because younger sons are coming home. Younger sons are coming into the kingdom." And here's what we find in the story. It doesn't end. It's a cliffhanger. Jesus doesn't finish. So you got to imagine, in this story, you have this younger son who's inside, let's say, a tent in the biggest party the father would have ever thrown. This is a community event. The younger son is inside the party with the father, and now you have the older son who is outside the party. He's outside the celebration, refusing to come in, and you have the father entreating him to come into the party, come into this celebration, because lost things are getting found, and that is time to celebrate. You celebrate when lost get found. But yet it ends with the older son outside the party. And the question we have to ask is, does he come in? Does he repent? Does he change his mind? See, the younger son, he repented. He had a change of mind and came home. Now the older son also needs a change of mind. The older son needs repentance too. Not repentance from his sin, not repentance from a far country, but repentance from his righteousness. He has righteousness, but it is self-righteousness. It is his own righteousness, and that is no good in the kingdom of God. What this older son needs to do is repent of all of his goodness. He needs to repent of always staying home and always doing good and always obeying, because he's been doing them for the wrong reasons. He hasn't done them because he loves the Father. He's done them because he wants the Father's stuff. He wants the Father's blessing. He wants the Father's parties. That's what he's after. And this is exactly where we find the scribes and the Pharisees when Jesus hit the planet. It looks like they are so good. They are obedient. They're following the laws. They're praying the right prayers. They're going to the right places. They're making the right sacrifices. They are in the field doing what they should do, but it is not because they love God. It's because they want God's stuff. They want blessing. They want future. They want heaven. They want the Father's inheritance. They want his stuff. They could care less about God. How do we know it? Because God is in their presence in the person of Jesus Christ, and they're grumbling at him. That's a pretty good sign that you've missed the boat when you're grumbling at God. See what's happening here. Sinners and tax collectors are getting grace. Sinners and tax collectors are getting the gospel. The gospel is not be good and God will love you. The gospel is realize you are not good and only God is, and repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And through repentance and belief, you can come back into the kingdom, a kingdom that you don't deserve, but a kingdom that God freely gives. And here you see the scribes and the Pharisees on the outside of all that, looking in, saying, "This is not how this should work. We are the ones who deserve to be with God. We are the ones who deserve heaven. We are the ones who deserve blessing and honor and glory. We deserve all those things. How could you give it to them?" And see, the scribes and the Pharisees don't realize that they don't deserve it either. because they don't honestly love God. They don't honestly love the Father. They just want his stuff. They just want the inheritance and the blessing and the reputation and the goodness, all the good things that God has promised to give. That's what they want. They don't want God. So here we find this parable of these two sons. And I love what this parable exposes. The first thing it really exposes is our misunderstanding of sin. And it sort of redefines sin for us. See, we think of sin as sin is doing bad things. If you're a sinner, you do bad things. But here we see Jesus reinterpreting sin for us. Sin is not just being rebellious. Sin is also being righteous. If you are self-righteous, if you are righteous in yourself, that's also sin. So sin is not just breaking the rules. Sin can also be keeping the rules for the wrong reasons. If you're keeping the rules to get something, that is also sin. We keep the rules because we love God. That's a huge difference. The scribes and the Pharisees were rule keepers, but they were sinners keeping the rules, because they were keeping the rules to try to get something, just like this older son. Yes, he worked, he labored, he never disobeyed. He's always in the field, but he's doing it for something else. He's doing it for the party, not because he loves God. So we see when it comes to sin, both rebellious and righteous are both in the same boat. They're both sinners. Apart from Christ, those who are self-righteous and those who are rebellious, both of those are sinful ways that we run from God. One's in a far country, one's in a field really close to home. One looks really bad, one looks really good, but at the heart and the core, they're both rotten. So the second thing that we see is, well, what about salvation? What does it mean to have salvation? What does it mean to be right with God? Well, our thought is, well, good people are right with God and bad people are not right with God. But here we see salvation redefined as, no, salvation is about repentance, that both the sinner and the self-righteous need the same thing. They both need to repent. They both need to turn around and come to the Father. And we see the younger son does it and the older son doesn't. And the reason Jesus pitches this parable to the scribes and the Pharisees is because they are the ones outside the party. They are the ones standing, ridiculing Jesus about hanging out with the sinners and tax collectors. They're grumbling. They are angry. They're outside the party. And Jesus leaves this cliffhanger to put it right in their lap to say, what about you? You are this older son. Will you stay outside the party, or will you repent and come to the Father and embrace grace? Yes, the younger son does not deserve this party, but neither do you. But your Father is a Father who loves to give people what they don't deserve. He gives parties to sinners and self-righteous alike, because he is a good and gracious and merciful God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's who God is. So we see the Father's heart drawn out in this parable. God loves those who repent. Not those who do good, not those who try really hard. He loves those who repent. So here's what I want to say to you. Whether you are a younger son who's in a far country running away from God, or whether you're an older son who's in the field, working hard, going to church, keeping the rules, doing everything right, but it's all about rules, because you think if you keep the rules, then somehow God will bless you, love you more, give you something, give you heaven. It's about what you're going to get at the end of that work. Whether you're a younger son or an older son, there's only one way into the party, and that is through grace. Through grace, where you repent, you come to yourself, and you turn back to the Father. And when you do that, he meets you with grace. See, both are sinners. The older son, it just shows up a little more. The younger son, it just shows up a little more. The older son, just as sinful, needs the same thing, needs repentance. Hey, I hope in this parable of not the prodigal son, the parable of the two sons, hope you've seen the gospel a little more clearly. That it's not about if you're good or bad. It's about acknowledging you need to repent and you need to come back home. That's the only way into the kingdom. And God loves sinners and self-righteous who repent. Repentance is the only way into the kingdom. What we really see in this parable is the heart of the Father. A Father who loves his wandering son who comes back home, and also a Father who loves his self-righteous son who humiliates him in front of all of his friends and all of the town. He loves both of them with a compassionate love, and that's who God is. God is a God who loves us despite us. We blow it. We're either younger sons or older sons, but God loves us just the same. He loves us through the cross of his son, Jesus. And the cross says, come here if you are rebellious or self-righteous. But the only way to come here is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the only way back into the kingdom. See, the story ends, and we don't know what the older son does. Because we're supposed to ask ourselves, what are we going to do? Are we going to stay outside the party, either thinking we're too bad or too good? Or are we going to repent of either our bad or our good? And repent and walk into the Father's good graces that was bought for us at the cross of Jesus Christ. So I don't know what you need to do, but you definitely need to repent. Because repentance is the only way back home. Hey, hope that this parable has helped you love your Bible more. It's one of my favorite places where Jesus just lays out the gospel for us. And I hope today this little walk through scripture has helped you love your Bible more. And now you're going to want to read your Bible, meditate on it, memorize it, pray it, because we want the Bible to get into us so that the Bible just comes out of us. That all throughout our day, it's just when people bump into us, just the scripture oozes out of us, a life filled with the Spirit as we walk in the Spirit. So I hope you've enjoyed the Love Your Bible podcast, because I really believe if you love your Bible, you love God, serve people, and live a life that matters.